afternoon. Welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Kunduff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery handles pretty much anything tractors or turf equipment. Go by and see them. They've got a great inventory right now. Full parts and service departments. If you got to have something worked on, take it in there. They'll take care of you. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com. They're also a Honda dealer. So if you're needing a generator, if you're in California, you're going to need a generator.
It's winter, so you can save up. So then when they shut the power off, you'll have a
normally
generator.
You'd need a generator in the wintertime, but here you need it in the summertime. So go by and see them. They got a big inventory. They can fix you up with pretty much any size you're looking for. And that's Pape Machinery. Yeah, go by and see them.
Do I get points for not interrupting?
He just interrupted. I wasn't officially done.
I was told I could interrupt at the beginning or the end, but not in the middle.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if you were done. I couldn't tell.
Oh, I know. My lips are moving. That means I'm not done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I wasn't looking over there. Yeah. Now there's going to be a camera, so they'll know if I was looking over there or not.
Yeah.
I'm being surveilled.
Yes, you are.
I'm not good at that. I would not be good at that.
I know. I want her to put a camera and spy on our dog when we're not home. She wouldn't have any part of it.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. Dogs have rights, too, I guess.
No cameras in the house.
Yeah, no cameras.
Who knows what they're spying on.
Now, we are having some technical difficulties, which is no surprise. It seems like every time we do
a story
on China, there's some problem. And I find it hard to believe that it's a coinkydink.
It's just a coincidence. We've been doing this show for, 10 years, and literally without fail. Every single time we do a program that involves discussion of the Chinese Communist Party and all that kind of stuff, we have all these malfunctions.
We have malfunctions.
Guests get cut off. The computers all screw up. I'll probably be getting notifications from our web provider that, our emails are all hacked. That's what happened last time. So, anyway, we're sorry if you're having difficulty hearing and coming in and out.
It's our fault.
Poor Susan, they're starting the computers and restarting the computers, and
both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they both went down a minute
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm. Susan, they're doing the one-armed paper hanger thing.
Yeah. I didn't know her eyes got that big. That was interesting.
yeah, she's like, ah, keep talking.
She went Adam Schiff on herself there.
when she gets the pencil neck, we're going to have to put a stop.
Oh, yeah, that's where we're going to have to give her a break.
We're going to have to call somebody. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so obviously we're airing this while the impeachment trial is in high gear. Not that we're going to discuss it, but this is the 26th of January, 2020, just in case we air this again. Because, unfortunately, I don't think this topic is going away anytime soon, although our guest, Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, is doing his level best to make it stop. And honestly, I think the only way to make it stop, Mitchell, is telling everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, like so many bad things that go on out there, once everyone knows, makes it a whole lot more difficult to do this. I mean, right now, everybody's being sold a bill of goods that China's just like America, only slightly different.
Yeah, just a little bit different. And after listening to that last clip, it brought up the question in my head, why is this so difficult to get the word out? I mean, you would think people would be completely outraged and want to jump on the bandwagon and get this stopped, but apparently it's been going along, quite well for a long time, and nobody's doing anything about it. I guess I don't understand that. Why is it so hard to get the word out and get action on this?
Wow. I wish that I could answer that question as simple as just because it feels right to do. It's the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why Aaron, why Bill, why Sue, why everybody are you allowing me to come on your show because you feel there's a sense of duty, there's a sense of goodness that stems, I believe, in every person's heart. And that's why, as good people, we should never be silent when there are other people, regardless of our whether it's part of our families, our communities, our nationality, our own country. We've got to stand up and do something. So you are the heroes, you know. You are the people that I take my hat off to, because when the world comes to realize what is going on against the Falun Gong in such a horrendous scale of murder and slaughter and disgusting forced organ harvesting brutality, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, why didn't we do anything? And here we got, and Aaron Bill, you're going to be sitting back and saying, patting yourselves on the shoulder, saying, yeah, we told you so. We told you so. The bottom line is, Bill, I think that it doesn't impact them until it impacts them, until it's your family on the line,
yeah,
until your guns are taken away, until your family is mandated to have forced vaccinations or be sent to labor camps or death camps. It doesn't ever impact people until it really impacts them on their doorstep. And I think particularly the youth. I remember when I was doing protests and peaceful assemblies and even human rights booths at Georgia State University and other places where I was attending school. And people were just walking by, looking and walking by, and looking and walking by. Not many people were actually out of 100 people who walked by, maybe 5-6 would come by, get a flyer, and walk off. And I think until it truly happens to those people, they'll never understand it, and I'll never want to understand it, because it is extremely hard to believe, and it is extremely hard in an instant gratification world, in a narcissistic, apathetic world, to do something about it and even have any time for it, especially because it's so heavy. But like I said, thank God for your listeners. Thank God for you for allowing me to come on and share about this.
Well, now, also, we've had a lot of people tell us that the CCP is very successful at infiltrating organizations. If you belong to any kind of a group that says anything bad about the CCP, you're going to get infiltrated, and the Falun Gong is no exception to that. That they are heavily infiltrated as well. What do you say about that?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, when I was sitting down with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, I was talking to a Taiwanese FBI. They came in, if you've ever seen the movie Men in Black, they came in their black suits, they sat me down. Mm-hmm. We had lunch together, an American FBI agent and a Taiwanese American FBI agent, and they were sharing with me that they know full about what's going on with Falun Gong, and China has heavily brought in their spies into the universities with the Chinese associations, the Confucius Institutes that are popping up all over
yes.
the world. These are propaganda machines. And they were sharing to me it's very hard because of the economic interests. I mean, the Boeing contracts of $100 billion are negotiated solely because or solely on the fact that if you're going to expose my human rights abuses, if you're going to say anything about Falun Gong, we're going to cancel your contracts, because this is so huge and multi-billion dollars of profit has been made off each year for the last 20 years of the Falun Gong organ harvesting and persecution. And so the infiltration, that's the word, the infiltration of the communist regime and their spy networks and into the embassies, into the United States, into the United Nations. I mean, Dr. Wang Jiefu, who was the Minister of Health of the communist regime and a liver transplantation surgeon who actually oversaw forced organ harvesting of Falun Gong and actually did Falun Gong organ harvesting of transplants before he was used by the communist regime to infiltrate the World Health Organization. This is told to me by David Kilgore and David Mattis, Ethan Gutman, that when they went to the United Nations and the World Health Organization, they were met with very fierce resistance. And even though they had irrefutable evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, because of Wang Shifu, because of the communist regime sitting on top of the United Nations, vetoing American power and not allowing the evidence to be confirmed or even accepted, the World Health Organization has remained silent. The United Nations, the Vatican, is strategically positioned with the communist regime in forced organ harvesting as well. It's very, very deep, and I can't get into too much of that detail. Wendy Rogers, who is a clinical psychologist and professor, went to the bishop, a high-ranking bishop who was inviting the communist regime in a transplantation seminar. The Transplantation Society has been bribed by gifts and showered with economic prosperity, and so it's all a matter of see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. But nowadays, those who are involved and those who are criminally, even from media associates and agencies who are demonizing the Epoch Times, demonizing Falun Gong, siding with the communist regime, sleeping with the communist regime and the Red Dragon, are going to be brought to justice, because you cannot stand on the wrong side of destiny when this is actually going on. And the evidence is coming out each and every day to prove that this is going on.
Yeah, you can't kill that many people and keep it quiet forever. I mean, that just defies logic. I'm curious to know if do people actually think that it's not happening? Is that what they say, that this is not really happening? Is that actually one of the options?
Yes, I wish you could have video to share about Matthew Robinson. Matthew Robinson is an award-winning journalist, and he worked for the Epoch Times. I think he's an independent journalist.
If you send it to us, we would be happy to post it and actually link it to the page for today.
I think I have. It's called the Roundtable Discussion or Roundtable Coalition. From you can look it on YouTube. But I'll send it to you again. It's the actual video is a four-part series at endtransplantabuse.org.
Oh, okay. I may already have that on there. I need to, after I get everything that I think that I have,
yes.
How's that? I'll add it all to the page. I'll send you the link, and you can look through it and make sure that we have everything, because I do know that a lot of the people that follow the program utilize the information that we put on the web, because it's a shortcut for their research, and they don't have to just take our word for it. They can actually follow the trail themselves. We have
Absolutely
to take another really swift break here, and then we're going to come right back. Seems like the more we get into this, the faster the breaks are coming. I don't know what's up with that. Can the Chinese control time? I don't think they can do that yet, but I think they are. I'm going to blame that on them, too. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Use the music to bring a little levity into the program, but I'll tell you what, every song takes a dark turn with this particular topic. I was looking at the list, end of the line, I'm like, well, I guess that'll work. All right, Mitchell, where would you like to take us now?
I would love if you can play the clip 3 of Miss World. Now, Miss World, Anastasia Lynn, she was Miss World Canada 2015 and 2016, and she was at the European Union giving an extraordinary account of testimonial about the Falun Gong forced organ harvesting. And she was banned from China in competing for the 2017, I believe, Miss World. And she went around and used her title, her former title, to expose this. And she's a Falun Gong practitioner as well.
Good for her.
Good for her, absolutely. So I would love for you to play that and have your listeners listen to that.
All right. Here we go.
For today, many of you probably heard about the horrific organ transplant abuse in China, including reports that Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners of conscience are killed to supply the lucrative trade in human body parts. I first learned about these allegations nearly a decade ago when David Matus and David Kilgour and also the Miss World Canada 2003 Nazanin F. Xinjiang were speaking about it in Vancouver. But it took me a long time to nearly confront the gravity of this crime, to consider deeply what it means that tens of thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of innocent people are being killed for their organs. The first time I was made to grapple seriously with this issue was when I started a film called The Bleeding Edge, which is based on true events. In it, I played a Falun Gong practitioner imprisoned for her beliefs, who was tied to an operation table as her vital organs are removed to be sold for a profit. Acting in this scene required me to imagine what this process would be like from the standpoint of a victim. And I had to imagine the sheer terror of knowing that death was imminent. It was a feeling of utterly helplessness, of being at the mercy of a cold-blooded murderer who would show me none. On the street, if someone assaults you and steals your purse, you can scream for help. Tied to a hospital bed in a surgical room of a labor camp, no one can hear you scream. In China, it is the state itself that is involved in organ stealing. As I consider this crime while preparing for my film's performance, I felt engulfed by the profound vulnerability and the injustice of it all. So it was a turning point for me, which made me realize that it is my duty to do all in my power to generate awareness about this issue. And I hope that you will feel the same after today's hearing. One of the factors that made it difficult to really grasp the magnitude of these crimes is that the victims, Falun Gong practitioners, are still not very well understood. Despite being among the most severely persecuted group in China, perhaps it is harder to really sympathize with them, with these people whose beliefs are rather foreign. So today I would like to shed some light on what Falun Gong really is and why they're being persecuted by the Communist Party. Falun Gong is many things, a set of meditation exercises, a moral code, and a way of life. If you have seen people practicing it in the park or in front of European Union today, you may have noticed that the exercise and meditation forms are very similar to Tai Chi and yoga. Falun Gong was and still is a social phenomenon. Because Falun Gong has no hierarchy or organizational structure, doesn't involve money, and doesn't really keep membership, no one knows exactly how many practitioners they were in China. But in 1998, the State Sport Administration estimated that there were 70 million to 100 million practitioners in China, more than the membership of Communist Party. Now, this is a major reason why Falun Gong was targeted by the Communist Party, and such a huge independent group was unprecedented in a communist community, a Communist Party regime history. And this explains how organ harvesting could come about, with potentially millions of Falun Gong practitioners incarcerated in China's vast network of prison camps. They become worth more death than alive. Their organs were worth money. They are blood typed, and when a blood match is made, they can simply be led away and killed, or simply put under anesthesia to have their organ removed while they are still alive. The mass killing that we're talking about today is not an abstract concept. The victims are real people, and they're innocent Chinese citizens. I know that prisoners of conscience sometimes give people the impression that these people are prisoners, but we are talking about innocent Chinese people. What's more is that they're extraordinarily brave and noble people who wanted nothing more than to seek truth and goodness and practice their beliefs. And because they're not willing to relinquish their values, their principles, they've been killed so their government can benefit from their organs. I hope that after today's testimony, that you will do all in your power to also bring attention to this issue. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That was Anastasia Ling. Yeah. Wonderful woman.
She brings up a really excellent point, though. I mean, if it's a well-known fact, I'm sure everyone in China knows that if you are a Falun Gong practitioner, that you're likely to get, you know, sucked out of your shoes and find yourself in a dark, you know, a dark gulag somewhere.
Always be looking over your shoulder.
But and yet it's growing.
Absolutely. I mean, if anyone has tried or is interested in practicing martial arts or yoga or Tai Chi or health and wellness, I mean, there has been a huge upsurge in the new age ways of doing things. Falun Gong is such a beautiful, free practice. It's simple, easy to learn, but quite profound. My mother just had gallbladder surgery, and she's never been into yoga, Tai Chi. She never was really interested. But sometimes when you go through life and you become ill or there are ailments in the body, people will try anything to become healthy. So she was battling trying to get over this this aching pain, and she would be crying to me. I'm like, Mom, don't worry, let me teach you the exercises. And at first she was a little bit hesitant, and I said, don't worry, there's nothing to be scared, just do it with me. And we started to practice, and everybody, I can be attested, she's gone to play with her grandchildren, but she recovered within three weeks of practicing with me. Every morning, these five very simple and profound exercises that the Chinese government did research on in terms of the psychological and physiological benefits, and saw that when you practice the actual Falun Gong exercises, no other practice in China was that powerful at the time and now in the world in terms of medical, in terms of spiritual and holistic well-being, and they saw how the practice and the well-being of the mind, when you are more truthful in business, when you are more compassionate to your lover and your husband or your wife and your children, when you are more, when you can endure setbacks in a calm and sincere way, your mind becomes more clear, more focused, more calm, and then your body follows through the exercises. And that's why you saw from 1992 when Mr. Li Hong, the founder of Falun Gong, had only about 200 people practicing, skyrocketed, mushroomed to about 100 million people. And this man is now, he's a five-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee and was nominated for the European Parliament Award for Freedom of Thought. And he's also the recipient of the Freedom House's International Religious Freedom Award. And if I may say, Falun Gong is not a religion. Whether you're Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Catholic, you can practice. It doesn't interfere. It's just a great practice of mind and body. And because the organs become incredibly healthy, because of the blood flow that is circulating much freer and much more healthier once the energy channels are unblocked and the congestion is removed, you have like this beautiful stream of blood through the organs, and that's why they targeted the organs, because once you practice, and I was seeing these kind of revolutionary and extraordinary results in terms of health, especially with the organs, the communist regime targeted the Falun Gong for eradication, and this has now commenced.
It's kind of a bad, perfect storm.
I'm kind of curious. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, maybe you could tell us the difference between that and Tai Chi. We see a lot of Tai Chi out there as well, and I don't understand the difference, but
well,
we'll be back after.
Yeah, and I tried yoga, but they asked me not to come back because I kept laughing.
Yeah, you're bad.
Okay, my mom and I both got kicked out. Because every time we were, you know, you kind of do these upside down things and look at everybody through your legs, and I don't know, it just kind of reminded me of playing Twister as a kid, and it seemed funny, and then she looked at me, and I looked at her, and then we burst out laughing, and the lady's like, "You're not taking this very seriously."
That's
so funny. Yeah, so maybe I'd have better luck with something different.
Probably not.
But I know that
in your case, no.
I know my yoga history is flawed. Well, there you go. That's my true confession. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up you, and I don't know if I can do it. I'm now set.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Anymore to know that I could read your mind. I could read your mind.
So what is the difference between Falun Gong and Tai Chi?
It's very little difference, Bill. Very, very little difference. But what happened with Falun Gong is that there's much more of an internal improvement of the mind and the body and the spirit. Basically, with Tai Chi, it's more just you do the exercises. You don't have to wonder or basically focus on how you conduct yourself or your behavior in society, whether in business, okay, whether in relationships. With Falun Gong, to really get the health that you deserve in terms of the miraculous health to improve and overcome any ailments, you want to improve and cultivate your moral character. So there's a moral character emphasis on being more truthful, compassion, tolerance, and then the exercises, when practicing, you will miraculously heal. And but Tai Chi is more just a healing and fitness yoga. You go, you do some yoga poses, and you can just conduct yourself however you feel.
With Falun Gong, you can conduct yourself
however you feel as well, but there is a moral requirement, morality, where borders the religious sense, but not quite, because there's no dogma, there's no formalities. The books are very, very good. It's very Chinese, ancient Chinese scientific thought, but it's just based on a moral character.
Well, that kind of answers the question that I had, which is, why are they under the microscope? I guess two things. There are a lot of them, and
they're much more healthy.
Well, the other thing, though, is if your government feels good about spying on you every minute of every day and no due process, haven't committed a crime, you can just go kill people at will. They certainly don't want their country being taken over by a practice that encourages, morality.
Right.
Exactly. And I was going to share with you that the universal values of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance are under attack, and that affects all.
Yeah, that kind of doesn't fit, actually.
Yes, and at the center of Falun Gong's belief system is the understanding that the universe's nature is fundamentally good, epitomized by the values of truthfulness and compassion and tolerance. So by assimilating these values in one's thoughts and actions, when you practice the Falun Gong exercises, you become really healthy. So the ultimate aim of the Chinese Communist Party and the persecution of Falun Gong is not simply just to eradicate some spiritual group or eliminate a political threat. Its aim is to destroy the underlying virtues that Falun Gong practitioners, Christians, Uyghur Muslims, Buddhists aspire to. So for this reason, much of the torture suffered by Falun Gong practitioners is focused on forcing them to renounce their beliefs and its core beliefs, which is the process of transformation. So the story of Falun Gong is therefore, as its essence, an epoch battle between the goodness in humankind, what many in the East call one's Buddha nature, including Tai Chi, and a tyranny bent on eradicating it. So that's pretty much the core reason why to eradicate the Falun Gong, bankrupt them financially, destroy their reputations, and wipe them out in 3 months. And what I wanted to share with you, Bill and Aaron, and everybody who's listening, the extent of the persecution and this campaign reached a final solution Nazi proportion, because 1 month before the persecution, a complete crackdown and ban of Falun Gong in China, which is Falun Gong is still outlawed in China, it's illegal to practice. The persecution just started on July 21st, 1999. 1 month before that, in June, there was a Gestapo type agency, Nazi SS type of agency called the 610 Office, created on June 10th, 1999, by Jiang Zemin and the highest ranking Politburo members of the Communist Party, that still stands and operates on top of the communist style system. In America, we have the government system, but in China and under communist Vietnam and communist China, you have the party system, which is the reign of terror, just like the Nazis, controlling the government system and the social, economic, and political arms of the nation. So the 610 Office, created by the Jiang Zemin regime, was used and purposely created to eradicate, operation for one purpose and one purpose only for the last 20 years and still continuing to eradicate Falun Gong from the forts or shores of China. And they've mobilized the secret police, the military, the hospitals, all the businesses, trillions and trillions of dollars of foreign direct investment into China from the consumer markets in America and other places around the world to eradicate Falun Gong. And Jiang Zemin wanted to do it, the president, former president of China. He wanted to eradicate them in 3 months, but this has been going on for 20 years. So you can see the tenacity of the Falun Gong and the conviction and the perseverance of the spiritual movement without any guns, without any harm. There's been never any cases of Falun Gong practitioners going rogue, killing, harming, any terrorist activities, blowing up buildings, etc. Very peaceful, and just hauled off to concentration camps and labor camps and death camps and hospitals to kill them for their organs.
Yeah, that's like stepping on puppies. I mean, they have a long way to go. Do you think this is going to, strengthen the resolve of the people, or do you think it's just going to force it underground to where it'll look like they've exterminated the movement?
Well, that's a great question. I wanted to share, I don't know if we have much time left, but David Mattis did I shared you the clip, I think it's clip 4, I believe.
Okay.
He was talking about that as well. And yes, this is forced it underground, but they can't, the communist regime is collapsing. There's incredibly internal struggle between President Xi and basically the party is in ruins. It's a matter of deep collapse. And now with this virus that's really terrorizing China. I mean, 20 million people under quarantine, and this is insane. It's really, really insane. But clip 4, I believe, with David Mattis.
Okay. How about this? Can we take our break just a teensy bit early and then come back with the clip so we don't have to stop it? Look at that, all this flexibility that we have.
Of course we can.
We're just like we're practicing yoga, but it's in our mind.
Yeah, CCP doesn't control us.
And I don't get in trouble for laughing. All righty. So you're listening to We the People. You can find everything about the program, and I hope you will share it at wethepeopleradio.us. And be right back.
Who's to say I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone.
We're in the process of updating our equipment here at KCNR. Now, if you hear a little extra static or perhaps a little silence between commercials, we're aware and appreciate your patience as we address these issues.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more. Promote your locally owned business on KCNR, Redding's only locally owned radio station. Brand your business through one of our advertising packages or by sponsoring a Colt 45's live broadcasted game. Call KCNR at 605-4565.
Get a 20-year, 200,000-mile powertrain warranty at no cost with every new 2020 Kia model exclusively at Redding Kia. 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. For details, see dealer or go to reddingkia.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Redding Electric.
Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Pick it up. Do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a storm, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
There you go, Mitchell. That can be your theme song.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you, Aaron.
It was long, but it was too good not to play.
Okay, no, it put tears in my eyes, actually. Thank you.
It fits. So here is David Mattis.
Yes. He is a main investigator.
Okay.
In the fight. And, yeah, with David Mattis is a 35 international human rights lawyer out of Winnipeg. And together with David Kilgore, who is the former Secretary of State to the Asian Affairs of the Canadian Parliament and a Crown Prosecutor, the Kilgore and Mattis report came out in 2006, which I implore your listeners to read. That is the icing on it. That's the creme de la creme of the evidence.
Okay.
But here he is.
You wrote a report in July 2006, a second version January 2007, a third version in book form under the title Bloody Harvest, November 2009, a book, a collection of essays that came out in August 2012. There's a lot of material. The two reports are posted on the internet, and the books are available through. It can be purchased, and obviously, in the few minutes, it's impossible to sort of give you the wealth of detail that supports the conclusions. But let me just say a few things about that. One is the telephone calls. We had callers calling into China, investigators, pretending to be relatives of patients needing transplants, and asking the hospitals if they had organs of Falun Gong practitioners for sale. And we got admissions throughout out China. Yes, we do. The reason the callers indicated they were calling was that Falun Gong is a set of exercises. The practitioners are healthy. Their organs are going to be healthy. And the callers were pretending to be relatives of patients that needed these organs. So we got admissions throughout throughout China, taped, transcribed, translated, saying, yes, Falun Gong organs for sale. Now, the Chinese government did a documentary responding to our report, and in that report they interviewed a couple of people that we called. One of them was Liu Guoping. So they present Liu Guoping a transcript of the call, and he says, yes, I got the call, and yes, I said most of these things, but the stuff here and there about Falun Gong, I didn't say, accusing us basically of fiddling with the transcript. But there's no acknowledgement that we have him on tape and no explanation of how we possibly could have interwoven seamlessly what he, in his own voice, what he denies having said and what he admits having said. Yet for the Chinese people, all they would see is this propaganda documentary, and certainly not our report or our website, which is blocked in China. So that's one piece of evidence. A second piece of evidence is blood testing. We found that Falun Gong practitioners who got out of prison and out of China told us systematically they were blood tested and organ examined, and it wasn't for their health because they were being tortured. But it is necessary for organ transplants because you need blood type compatibility and ideally tissue type compatibility as well. The people who got out of prison who were not Falun Gong practitioners told us the same thing, that the people they saw in prison who were Falun Gong practitioners were going through these tests, and they were not. And we found this, we found practitioners around the world telling us this. And it wasn't the matter matter that was of immediate concern or interest to them, because they weren't harmed by the blood testing. In fact, what they wanted to talk about was their torture, and it took a while to sort of find out from each of them by talking to them that this was systematically happening. And of course, these people didn't know each other, hadn't talked to each other, and yet we found this pretty regularly everywhere. And so that's a second factor. A third factor is the numbers. China, in terms of transplant volumes, is number one in the world after the United States. Waiting times are very short, whereas everywhere else they're very long. And China, until this year, didn't have a donation system. Where are the organs coming from? Well, the Chinese government says prisoners sentenced to death. Well, what's the death penalty numbers? They won't tell you. We do know that they've been going down over time because they've changed the procedures to centralize death penalty from regional courts to Supreme Court. They've cut down the number of death penalty offenses, but transplant volumes have remained constant. There's no national organ donation system. There's a huge amount of hepatitis in the prison system, which makes a lot of the organs unusable. And we estimate that about in order to supply 10,000 organs a year, there'd have to be death penalty volumes of about 50,000 a year. And the highest estimates of death penalty volumes in China are about a tenth of that. There is no explanation other than one we've come up with, the Falun Gong prisoners. The Falun Gong prisoners, they represent a huge population within the Chinese system in the hundreds of thousands. They don't self-identify to protect their immediate family, which means that the relatives don't know where they are, and the jailers don't know who they are, so they're extremely vulnerable. They are subject to extreme vilification through hate propaganda, which means that they're depersonalized and dehumanized and marginalized. So we have this very vulnerable population. The last factor I'll mention here, although there's much more one could get into, but it's relevant to the jurisdiction of the Scottish Parliament, is that as we look around the world and in China about the precautions that should be put in place to prevent this abuse from happening, they're not there, neither in China nor elsewhere. We don't have in China, obviously, one can see that if one knows the system in China, we don't have the rule of law. When we started, the law itself didn't require consent from prisoners for sourcing from organs. They did change that, but there's no way of enforcing that. There's no traceability, there's no records, there's no access to records, and so there's no way of determining whether there's consent, even if they assert there's consent. So we don't have the system in place in China to prevent it, and we don't have the system in place abroad to prevent transplant tourists from going into China and participating in organ transplant abuse. There are some legislative proposals in some countries to deal with it. Israel enacted a law to that effect, and it's something the Scottish Parliament could do. Health is a devolved domain; it's not a reserved domain. The Scottish Parliament, in its devolved domain, can enact extraterritorial legislation, and it's done so for female genital mutilation. So it already has legislation about organ transplant abuse called the Human Tissue Scotland Act, which it could simply amend to encompass foreign transplant abuse. And it would send a message. It would be an example. It would help to establish a network to prevent this sort of abuse. So those are my very brief remarks. Thank you very much.
Well, that was kind of a handy overview there.
Absolutely. The reason why, Erin and Bill, I wanted to share with you and your listeners these audios is because there's no room for disbelief or, come on, this is not happening. We've covered all boundaries, all bases today, so that's why I really wanted to nail in all these witnesses. And there's so much more evidence. I mean, David Kilgore mentioned this 52 pieces of evidence, and that was in 2014. We're in 2020 right now, so it's beyond a reasonable doubt, and there's no way that anybody can deny that this is going on against the Falun Gong.
Well, the Chinese dissidents that we've had on in the past have said, like I remember one of them said they had 26 people on the organ donation list, and they did upward of 200,000 transplants that year.
They were all walk-ins.
So you can't even make sense of those numbers.
Exactly, and I can't really divulge how much, how many. I mean, there are numbers out there that are going to shock people, and I do not want to, because we're dealing with something extremely delicate here, and that's why the investigators have really time and time again warned me. When you go in the shows, do not exaggerate. Even though the numbers are higher than we can imagine, and when the people really come up to realize after 20 years, 100 million Falun Gong practitioners, how many actual people who have been murdered by the regime, namely Falun Gong, it's going to show stir them. But for now, we're going to say 100,000 transplants a year, just to make it viable, feasible, and logical.
Well, people who are living here, who started there, we've asked, do these people just disappear and never come back? And they said, oh, sometimes they come back. They come back with their organs missing. They sew them back together and send them back to they don't cremate everybody, I guess. They send some of them back to their family. I don't know how you qualify for that, but it's like, oh, here's your relative, and
yeah, he's missing a kidney,
and
by the way.
You know, they're missing parts, so. And again, no crime was committed, no trial was had, no court adjudicated this. They just, are gone and come back and are missing parts, ones.
And not having a system in place, a transplant program in place, pretty much tells you it's a government program.
Yeah, they have a program.
Yeah, they have a program.
It's a special program.
You don't get to know about it.
You know, I live in communist Vietnam. You have no property rights. You watch this. You watch the Vietnamese, and they're very twisted. Thank God we are in America. I'm an American citizen. I received my citizenship about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was the first in my family. I came here, and I can tell you, everybody, when I love this country, and I'm going in 2 days' time back to Vietnam, but cherish your freedom here in this country.
Yep.
Because
amen.
America, oh my goodness.
Just when you think, it's a big mess, you look around at other places.
You're blessed to live here, and people that fly in this country have no idea what goes on.
We will post as much as you send us, and we can update obviously after the fact, and we'd be happy to have you on again. We're glad you found us. I got your email, and I thought, hey, this is right up our alley. So our guest this couple hours has been Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. Thank you, Mitchell, for coming
on
with us.
Thank you.
Be careful in Vietnam and elsewhere, and thanks for getting the word out.
God bless. Thank you.